Face it, if crime did not pay, there would be very few criminals. Lawton Lewis Burdock. Prologue. He looks like a walking corpse, Zizor thought. Like a mummified body, dead 1,000 years. Amazing he is still alive, much less the most powerful man in the galaxy. He isn't even that old. It is more as if something is slowly eating him. Zizor stood 4 meters away from the Emperor, watching as the man who had long ago been Senator Palpatine moved to stand in the holocam field. He imagined he could smell the decay in the Emperor's worn body. Likely that was just some trick of the recycled air run through dozens of filters to ensure that there was no chance of any poison gas being introduced into it. Filtered the life out of it, perhaps, giving it that dead smell. The viewer on the other end of the hololink would see a close-up of the Emperor's head and shoulders, of an age-ravaged face shrouded in the cowl of his dark zague-cloth robe. The man on the other end of the transmission, light years away, would not see Zizor, though Zizor would be able to see him. It was a measure of the Emperor's trust that Zizor was allowed to be here while the conversation took place. The man on the other end of the transmission, if he could still be called that. The air swirled inside the Imperial Chamber in front of the Emperor, coalesced and blossomed into the image of a figure down on one knee. A caped humanoid biped dressed in jet black, face hidden under a full helmet and breathing mask. Darth Vader. Vader spoke. What is thy bidding, my master? If Zizor could have hurled a power bolt through time and space to strike Vader dead, he would have done it without blinking. Wishful thinking, Vader was too powerful to attack directly.
There is a great disturbance in the Force, the Emperor said. I have felt it, Vader said. We have a new enemy, Luke Skywalker.
Skywalker? That had been Vader's name a long time ago. Who was this person with the same name, someone so powerful as to be worth a conversation between the Emperor and his most loathsome creation? More importantly, why had Zizor's agents not uncovered this before now? Zizor's ire was instant but cold. No sign of his surprise or anger would show on his imperturbable features. The Fallen did not allow their emotions to burst forth, as did many of the inferior species. No, the Fallen ancestry was not fur, but scales, not mammalian, but reptilian, not wild, but coolly calculating. Such was much better, much safer. Yes, my master, Vader continued.
He could destroy us, the Emperor said.
Zizor's attention was riveted upon the Emperor and the holographic image of Vader kneeling on the deck of a ship far away. Here was interesting news indeed, something the Emperor perceived as a danger to himself, something the Emperor feared. He's just a boy, Vader said. Obi-Wan can no longer help him. Obi-Wan, that name Zizor knew. He was among the last of the Jedi Knights, a general. But he'd been dead for decades, hadn't he? Apparently Zizor's information was wrong if Obi-Wan had been helping someone who was still a boy. His agents were going to be sorry. Even as Zizor took in the distant image of Vader and the nearness of the Emperor, even as he was aware of the luxury of the Emperor's private and protected chamber at the core of the giant pyramidal palace, he was also able to make a mental note to himself. Somebody's head would roll for the failure to make him aware of all this. Knowledge was power. Lack of knowledge was weakness. This was something he could not permit. The Emperor continued.
The Force is strong with him. The son of Skywalker must not become a Jedi.
Son of Skywalker? Vader's son? Amazing. If he could be turned, he would become a powerful ally, Vader said. There was something in Vader's voice when he said this, something Zizor could not quite put his finger on. Longing? Worry? Hope?
Yes, yes. He would be a great asset, the Emperor said. Can it be done?
There was the briefest of pauses.
He will join us or die, Master.
Zizor felt the smile, though he did not allow it to show any more than he had allowed his anger play. Ah, Vader wanted Skywalker alive. That was what had been in his tone. Yes, he had said that the boy would join them or die, but this latter part was obviously meant only to placate the Emperor. Vader had no intention of killing Skywalker, his own son. That was obvious to one as skilled in reading voices as was Zizor. He had not gotten to be the Dark Prince, Underlord of Black Sun, the largest criminal organization in the galaxy, merely on his formidable good looks. Zizor didn't truly understand the force that sustained the Emperor and made him and Vader so powerful, save to know that it certainly worked somehow. But he did know that it was something the extinct Jedi had supposedly mastered. And now, apparently, this new player had tapped into it. Vader wanted Skywalker alive, had practically promised the Emperor that he would deliver him alive and converted. This was most interesting. Most interesting indeed. The Emperor finished his communication and turned back to face him.
Now, where were we, Prince Zizor?
The Dark Prince smiled. He would attend to the business at hand, but he would not forget the name of Luke Skywalker. 1. Chewbacca roared his rage. A stormtrooper grabbed at him and he knocked the man flying, armor clattering as he fell into the pit. Two more guards came in, and the Wookiee battered them both aside as if they were nothing, a child tossing dolls around. In another second, one of Vader's troops would shoot Chewie. He was big and strong, but he couldn't win. They cut him down. Han started yelling at the Wookiee, calming him. Leia stared, unable to move, unable to believe this was happening. Han kept talking. Chewie, there'll be another time. The princess, you have to take care of her. Do you hear me, huh? They were in a dank chamber in the bowels of Cloud City on Bespin, where Han's so-called friend, Lando Calrissian, had betrayed them to Darth Vader. The scene was bathed in a buttery golden light that made it seem even more surreal. Chewbacca blinked at Han, the half-assembled droid 3PO jutting from a sack on the Wookiee's back. The traitor Calrissian stood off to one side like some feral creature. There were more guards, techs, bounty hunters. Vader and the stink of liquid carbonite permeated the air around them, a smell of morgues and graves combined. More guards moved in to put cuffs on Chewie. The Wookiee nodded, calmer. Yes, he understood Han. He didn't like it, but he understood. He allowed the guards to cuff him. Han and Leia looked at each other.
This can't be happening, she thought. Not now.
The emotion took them. Neither could resist it. They came together like magnets held each other. They embraced, kissed, full of fire and hope, full of ashes and despair. Two stormtroopers jerked Han away, backed him onto the lift plate over the makeshift freezing chamber. The words erupted from Leia, unbidden, uncontrollable, lava blasted from a volcanic explosion.
I love you.
And Han, brave, strong Han, nodded at her.
I know.
The Ugnaught techs, not much more than half Han's height, moved in, unbound his hands, stepped away. Han looked at the techs, then at Leia again. The lift plate sank, lowered him into the pit. He locked his gaze with Leia's, held it, until the cloud of freezing vapor boiled up and blocked their view. Chewie yelled. Leia didn't understand his speech, but she understood his rage, his grief, his feeling of helplessness.
Han.
Stinking, acrid gas spewed up and rolled over them, an icy fog, a roiling, soul-chilling smoke through which Leia saw Vader watching it all under his inscrutable mask. She heard 3PO sputter.
What? What's going on? Turn round. Chewbacca, I can't see.
Han. Oh, Han. Leia sat up abruptly, her pulse racing. The sheets were sweaty and wadded around her, her night garment damp. She sighed, swung her legs over the side of the bed, and sat staring at the wall. The chronometer inset showed her it was 3 hours past midnight. The air in the room smelled stale. Outside, she knew, the Tatooine night would be chilly, and she considered opening a vent to allow some of that coolness inside. At the moment, it seemed too much effort to bother.
A bad dream, she thought. That's all it was.
But no. She couldn't pretend it had been only a nightmare. It had been more than that. It was a memory. It had happened. The man she loved was embedded in a block of carbonite, had been hauled away like a crate of cargo by a bounty hunter, lost to her, somewhere in the vastness of the galaxy. She felt the emotions well, felt them threaten to spill out in tears, but she fought it. She was Leia Organa, princess of the royal family of Alderaan, elected to the Imperial Senate, a worker in the Alliance to restore the Republic. Alderaan was gone, destroyed by Vader and the Death Star. The Imperial Senate was disbanded. The Alliance was outmanned and outgunned 10,000 to 1, but she was who she was. She would not cry. She would not cry. She would get even. 3 hours past midnight, and half the planet slept. Luke Skywalker stood barefoot on the Steel Creek platform 60 meters above the sand, looking at the taut wire.